If you have your Bibles with you, open, they're better open, I've discovered. If you got a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 16, and we'll read from verse 11. It says this, the psalmist writing, you make known to me the path of life. And catch this, it says, you will fill me with joy in your presence, and eternal pleasures at your right hand. Did you catch that? That in the paths of life, you will fill me, you will have joy to the full and joy forever. That's a pretty good deal. I don't know that there's anything else in the world that will give you joy to the full and joy forever. Psalmist goes on and says that in Psalm 25, show me your ways, Lord, teach me your, what? Paths. Psalm 65 says, you crown the year with your goodness and your what? Your paths or your carts overflow with abundance. Your paths drip with abundance. The psalmist is showing us that God has a path. That there is a way that God has for his people that leads to life. But watch what the writer of Proverbs says. He says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So God has a path, and man has a path. Man's path leads to destruction. Other versions say devastation. The Gen Z paraphrase says, if you follow that path, you will wreck yourself. There's a path, there is a way to navigate life that will seem good to you, but in its end, you will only end up wrecking yourself. Why is that? Because the path of man, the one that you think is the best for you, is usually centered around what? You. It's self-centered. It's self-seeking, it's self-serving. The way of man is full of fear. The way of man is temporary. The way of man has no means to navigate from this life into the next life. The way of man is devoid of God and will ultimately end up, another version say, in a total wipeout. That's the Surfer's Bible. I wouldn't recommend it for any deep theological understanding. There are two paths. Is what scripture is telling us. There are two paths. There are two paths that a person can choose from. There is the world's path, the path of man, and there is God's path. God's path does not lead to wrecking yourself, but it is a path that leads to life. And you get on that path through Jesus. Jesus says it like this in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That word that he uses, to the full, is the word zoe. It's a picture of abundance. You can't cram more life into the life that I'm talking about. You're packing on a four-wheel drive trip, and you are just pushing everything into the back of that car that you can. It's crammed full of life. It's like you're packing with your wife and you look at her bag full of life. It's overflowing with life. This life that Jesus came to give us is full with life more than you could ever imagine. Look at the way that they write it in the Amplified. I come that they may have life, they may have and enjoy life. Not just have it, but enjoy it and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Notice what Jesus is saying is that Jesus came not just so that you can have eternal life. That is certainly a central part of it. That is certainly a part of it that we do not skip past. It is certainly part of it. The main thrust of it, that we secure eternal life, a life that endures beyond just this moment. When you put Jesus as the Lord of your life, you are guaranteed everlasting life, forever life. Heaven is your home. But Jesus is saying, but the life that I came to give you is not just that life. It is not just forever life. I came that you would have and experience and enjoy the fullness of life. The writer of the Message writes it like this, that I have come so that they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Jesus came to give you a kind of life better than you've ever dreamed. I was explaining this to my five-year-old son. I don't know how old he is. One of them. He's three. It's too much to keep track of. Little one. Grayson, I think, is his name. I told Gray, how old are these five? Yeah. Good. I've got that Olympic fever. You're in the one that just robs sleep from you, especially when it's on the other side of the globe. I was telling Grayson this. I'm like, hey, did you know that Jesus came to give you a life better than you've ever dreamed? And Grayson looked at me and he's like, I don't know. My dreams are pretty crazy. My dreams are wild. And I was like, even better. And he was like, I don't know. I don't believe you. And I was like, well, this is going to be hard work convincing a room full of adults. What Jesus is saying is, what the writer of Psalms, what Scripture attests to is that there is a path. There is a way. There is a way that Jesus came to make plain for you to walk into and walk out a life better than you could ever imagine. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus came so that you can have a life better than you ever dreamed? Do you believe that Jesus came that you could have a life just crammed full of life? A life just overflowing with abundance? There is a way that Jesus came to give you a life better than you could ever dream. Does that mean that it's all smooth sailing? Somewhat, but mostly not. One of Jesus' promises, which none of us have a habit of claiming, is he says, in this world, you will have trouble. We're like, oh, no thanks. In this world, you will have trouble. There are going to be things that you encounter on this road called life. There are things, there are moments, there is sickness, there is trouble that comes your way that you will walk through. But Jesus says this, you will not just have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. See, the life that Jesus came to give us and lead us in is not a free ticket out of the world that we live in, but it means that the state of your soul is not determined by the size of your storm. It means that, I'm going through a storm, and if it feels like your boat is falling apart, sure, but your life isn't. That, sweet sickness it feels like it's robbing me of mobility. It feels like this last layoff. It feels like it's robbed my future, and it feels like things in my world are falling apart. But you know what? The life that Jesus came to give me says that this moment is not the last moment, that I always have a future, that there is a way for me to get through this moment. And yes, it looks like moments are bad, but I have hope. The world looks like it's falling apart around me, but my life is stayed together. Why? Because I have more life, a better life, than you could ever possibly imagine. You sit here and you think, well, Ryan, this feels like we're skirting awfully close to a prosperity gospel message. I've heard about this, and I don't love it. This feels awfully close to doing a prosperity gospel message. Maybe you've heard about that. Maybe you're hesitant when people get up there and they say, like, you know what? Jesus came to give you a better life than you could ever dream of. It's like, oh, hang on. I've heard about this prosperity gospel, and I want none of that. Right? How many people heard and it's like, ooh, prosperity, I'm hesitant. I don't really know about that. You're right. It's tacky. It's gross. It feels weird because the prosperity gospel makes it only seem like it is good news if you get. Prosperity gospel is only good news for the getting. It seems like it is prosperity's gospel. It is no gospel at all. It's just prosperity's gospel. I am not into that, and I would even argue that most people accused of it aren't even into that either. What I am not into is the prosperity gospel. What I am into is gospel prosperity. And I will argue this till the cows come home, and I don't think they're even on a schedule. I don't know that they can count time. What I am into is gospel prosperity, one that says life and life to the full. What I am into is a gospel that says that by nothing, nothing I have done, nothing I've earned, nothing I've deserved, but by grace alone, I have been made alive. When I put my faith in Jesus, I was saved. But more than that, I was welcomed into a kingdom. I became a citizen of heaven, a place, by the way, which is devoid of pain, devoid of heartache, devoid of lack, and devoid of loss. I have been made a citizen of that realm. A realm that Jesus taught us to contend to see made known here on earth. He says, Father, on my, like, your kingdom come. A kingdom, by the way, that scripture says is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he says, Father, your will be done on earth, what? As it is in heaven. He says, God, we want the kingdom heaven reality expressed here on earth. And yet, I find that some of us seem to have a funny view of heaven. We pray, Father, on earth as it is in heaven, but I don't, like for everyone else. Or it's like, heaven is just like this ethereal idea. It's just an ideal that is not something to be experienced. Or some of us actually start to need to take that prayer serious. But say, God, if you're asking me, you're teaching me to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, you've got to start to get serious about what heaven means for you. No lack, no heartache, no loss. Will we experience the fullness of it? No. In this world, you will have trouble, but we contend in the heavenlies to see that done in greater measure today more than it was yesterday and tomorrow more than it was today. We contest to see the kingdom reality of heaven in our lives. Am I into the prosperity gospel? No, but I am into gospel prosperity, a gospel that says that life and life to the fullest. Because I tell you what, I have had it, having conversations with Christians convinced that you have to wait until heaven to enjoy life. You gotta wait. This life, no. This life is a chore. This life is rough. Yes, but Jesus says that he will provide you with all of the perseverance required to get through it as a victor in this life. Yes, there is trials and there is tribulation and there is persecution and there are all of those things, but yet in it all, Jesus says life and life in abundance. Come on, how many people believe that God came to give you life in its fullest measure possible? We got to start to believe that we are citizens of heaven and we are designed to flourish in this life. See, what Jesus is saying is that God's path not only leads to eternal life, but to a flourishing life, a kind of life that leads to more life, a life that is patient and generous and kind, a life that is self-controlled, a life that is full of hope in every situation, that is full of joy despite the mourning, a full of peace despite the trouble. It is a life that in your spirit that overflows into your world. He pours so much life into you. Your soul can't contain it. It begins to affect everything around you. There is a path for you. There is a way that Jesus designed you to walk. A path that makes you stand out, stand as a signpost. The scripture actually calls the church to be a city on a hill that shines what it looks like when God's favor rests upon his people. But here's the thing. That path It's narrow. That path is narrow. Hear me. That path is not exclusionary. Any person that wants to walk that path by putting their trust in Jesus, you are welcome in. But there it's narrow. This is what Jesus says. He says that small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. This is what Jesus is saying, that there is a way into life and there is a way of life. And I think what we want to do over the next few weeks is explain to so many people, yes, you know what? You are in life. But there is a way of life that if you follow the way, the path that Jesus has laid out for us, that it not only gets you in, but it gets you on the way that leads to flourishing. How many people want to stop just surviving in life and move to a place of thriving in Jesus' name? Come on, I want to stop just being okay with simply just settling for life. I want to go life and life to the full. I want to step beyond just entering the gate. I want to learn to walk the road that leads to life. There is a way in and there is a way of life. But here's the thing, it's His road. And that's tough. I would love it to be my road or even a shared road. A road that we designed, kind of a co-designed road. Like a uni project that he does most of the work, but I get a say just beforehand in. But it's like, okay, sweet. I get what Scripture is laying out. I understand the way of life that you have been putting there, but some of those things are inconvenient to me, or I just like to tweak some bits and pieces. Here's the thing. There is two roads. My road, God's road. The world's road that leads to destruction, and God's road that leads to life. There is a road, friends, that if we can learn to walk it, will see us move from just surviving to thriving. And it requires daily denying the way of the world and choosing instead His way. It's a way that says, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. It's a way that says, I'm going to choose to only do what I see the Father doing. I'm only going to go the way that He tells me to go. I am going to reject my proclivities. I am going to reject the my way kind of attitude that I have had. And I'm going to choose to jump on the road that leads to life. Friends, you were designed to thrive and flourish in this life. Not just get by. Scripture gives us four principles to walk this path that radically transforms your life. And so if you're here and you are tired of feeling like you want to move forward into something new and better and free and healthier, only to feel like you are stuck in the old. If you're here and you just know that there is more to life. If you're here and you know that there is more to your faith, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be rolling out four principles, four essentials for us to walk the way of life. Walk the road that leads to flourishing. And my prayer for you is that you would move into a new place of grace. You would move into a place that we allow ourselves to be transformed by the magnificence of the life available in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Here's the thing, the beautiful thing about walking along God's path. Like we said, it's not just about the destination, but the transformation that happens along the way. And to flourish, to truly flourish in this life, live out that abundant life that Jesus promised, the first thing that it requires is a renewal of our minds. If we are going to walk the path that leads to life, the first thing we got to do is we got to learn to renew our mind. You know this, I know this, that what we think, the stories that we believe is true, radically shape how we behave. The stories that we hear, the things that we believe are true, will determine how we react, it will determine how we interact with the world. Ultimately, what we believe to be true shapes who we are. Scripture says as much. Proverbs 23, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." The writer Paul put it like this in Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, man's wrote, but the mind governed by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. You see, the stakes are high. Life or death, chaos or peace, these battles are won or lost in our mind. If we're going to step into a flourishing life, we absolutely must deal with what's on our mind. The town of Concrete in Washington in 1938 became famous for miraculously surviving an alien attack. Did you know that? October 30, a radio broadcast began to relay reports of objects falling from the sky. Manhattan is being attacked and things and buildings are beginning to fall down. The Minister for Defense is on the radio explaining everything that is happening. And all of a sudden, all of the lights in this town called Concrete go dark. There's a blackout. People begin to freak out. People grab rakes, baseball bats, they head to the streets. There are stories of people running in and interrupting church services saying, go home and die with your family. It is the end of all things. There are people that broke into their neighbor's house, stole their car keys, jumped in their car, and legged it into the forest. People grabbed everything they could to try and survive the end of the world. There is a story of a man who stole a police horse and fled into the forest. The issue is, it wasn't the news at all. It was Orson Welles, in his first run-through, relaying his radio play of War of the Worlds. People listened to a radio play and didn't just hear it, right? They didn't just hear a radio play, they believed it. And because they believed it, it sent them running in all kinds of crazy directions. My question for you is this: what stories are you believing right now? What stories in your life do you believe? What thoughts, what ideas roll around your head so often that you have no choice but to believe them as true? What half-truths, what mistruths about God and life and your identity have you begun to believe? Some are huge, like aliens are attacking Manhattan. Others are way more innocuous, way more just everyday run-of-the-mill ideas that shape the way that we interact with the world. These are some of those ideas. Justin, if you can throw them on the screen. Ideas like my worth is in my work. And if I don't achieve at work, then what do I have to give to the world? And so I'm going to work late. I'm going to sacrifice relationships. I'm going to sacrifice my health and order in my household in order to get ahead in my work. I'm unlovable. I've scrolled on Instagram for days on end and thought that beauty is a pant size. And if I am not pretty enough, I'm not lovable enough. And so I will work myself sick to be lovable. The idea that I had to take care of a sibling growing up because my parents weren't there. And so I got to take care of myself and no one will ever care. It's that person that had a crack at business and that first time it fell over and now we're consumed with the story that everything I do fails. Stories like I don't belong. Stories like I'll never make it through this. Everyday stories that every one of us at some point have picked up and we've heard it so many times. That you haven't just heard a story, but you've chosen to believe it. And here's the thing, if you believe a lie, it will radically impact and shape the way that you journey through life. Yeah. I've said this before, the quickest way to win a game of golf is convince your opponent highest score wins. All you got to do is that. Just like, hey, if you hit the ball more times than me, you win. And this is what the enemy will want to do in your life. This is what your flesh will want to do in your life. It will try and convince you of a mistruth, a half-truth, a lie. And more than just hearing a lie, but convince you of a lie, because if you are convinced of a lie, you will begin to live out a lie. And there is nothing more dangerous to the flourishing of a believer's life than believing and living out a lie. This is why Scripture tells us that it is the truth that will set us free. That we have to kick off the lies. push past these stories that we've begun to believe, because a lie will keep you living in shame from the past when God wants to set you free for a better future. A lie will keep you living with joy and keep you living from joy and freedom and confine you to a less than existence. But here's the good news: with God's help, you can change those stories. With God's help, you can shift away from the lies that have held you back. You can end vicious cycles of thoughts that are destructive to you and the world around you. If you allow Him, God can transform you by the renewing of your mind. How? By saturating your mind with His unchanging truth. We believe that this is a year of transformation, and God is calling us into a greater measure of His peace and His joy and His hope, that we believe this is a year of transformation. I don't want to get to the end of the year just surviving in parts of my life when I know that God is trying to jam into my life more life than I could ever imagine. We need to lay a hold of the good news of Jesus. We got to grab a hold of the truth and say, no more living in lies that hold me back. And I am instead going to take upon myself the stories and the truth of God. If we are going to move into that, we have to deal with what's in our mind. Paul says it like this in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Paul says, in light of everything that's happened, 11 chapters of theology, of wonder, of glorying in the grace of Jesus, he says, in light of all of that, give yourself to Him. F.F. Bruce says that the sacrifices of the old way, the old covenant, used to consist in the taking of others' lives, but the new way is in giving our own to Him. And now watch this. In light of that, life. Now life to the full. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, let me lay it out to you like this, that new life leads to a new mind, which leads to new living. Life to the full, the key to the life to the full is learning to have a new mind. What does that look like? How do we step into all of this? We start by rejecting the old and we move to replacing it with the new. Reject the old. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. J.B. Phillips says it like this: do not let the world around you squeeze you, press you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Friends, we have to learn to reject the shape of the world around us. If you want to step into what God has for you, you cannot keep in step with the world around you. We as believers have left behind an old way. We've been introduced to the life to come. What a pity then if we stay true to the life and the world that we have left behind. It's the image of being pressed like a sleeping bag into a shape smaller than you were meant. Have you ever had the wrong sleeping bag with the wrong? Had a double sleeping bag with a single sleeping bag tube. And it's just like pressing you into something smaller than it was meant to be. That lie that you're never good enough. Thought that your relationships will always be dysfunctional. You'll never be accepted. Beauty is a pant size. You will always be the trauma that happened to you. Friends, do not be pressed into the pattern, structure, thoughts of the world that we live in. Not only personally, but culturally. Cultural lies that tell you that there is no truth. Morality is subjective. Holiness is oppressive. Greed is a virtue. Money, sex, and power is the goal. Just do what makes you feel happy. Live your truth. Forget about the truth. There are seemingly more pressures now than ever to toe the line of a world around us, but Paul urges us refuse it. Can I encourage you, watch what you watch? Because influences, if uninspected in light of the gospel, will lead you to living a life smaller than what you were made for. Watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Inspect every commentary on the social world that we live in light of the gospel. Can I encourage you, just press against the shape that they're trying to push you into. God made you for more. Reject the old. Replace it instead with the new. Paul told believers, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, if you want to flourish, we've got to change what's in our mind. Dallas Willard says it like this: the process of spiritual formation in Christ is one of progressively replacing the destructive and inaccurate with the images and ideas that filled the mind of Jesus himself. Growing up, I was a Christian kid in the 90s. So we were the coolest. But there was bands that went around. I don't know if you remember it. WWJD. Do you remember that? What Would Jesus Do? And it was cool. It was really cool. I had heaps. Anyway, it taught us to, hey, you know what? Whatever it is that you think you're about to do, just stop and check yourself. Is that what Jesus would do? And that's cool. But it stops way short of giving you the tools to live a flourishing life. If I could go back, change history, I would change one letter. Rather than WWJD, I would make it WWJT. Because if we could teach a generation, if I can do one thing in this room, it is to encourage you to stop and ask this. Not what would Jesus do, begin with this: what would Jesus think? Because if you can learn to see the world, you can learn to see God, you can learn to see yourself the way that Jesus saw you, God, and the world, I guarantee you it will begin to transform your world. When things come into your life, you kick against it. Punch kick those stories that shape you into something smaller than you were meant. Stories like, I'll never belong, and remind yourself that he puts the lonely in families, that he has you in his hand and he'll never let you go. A fear of failure replaced by a truth that says he is proud of you no matter what you have done. He picked you up from when you were dead. He made you alive in Christ, and he is proud of the child of God that you are now. I'm not beautiful. You replace that dumb lie with the reality that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am formed in the image of God, that he designed me from the creation of the world, that there is a place in his eyes that is a jewel, that we are more precious than gold and rubies in his eyes. Stories like, I'll never make it. Nothing good ever happens to me. No. He is devising good plans, that there are new mercies for me today, that he has woken up ahead to make good plans for me. He's got blessings in heaven that he is storing up. I'm done. You replace it with the reality that it is finished. Friends, kick off that old way of thinking and step in to the new. This is what it says in Psalm 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And who meditate on his law day and night. That person is what? Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Friends, if you want to step into a place of flourishing, moving from just surviving to thriving, the first thing you got to do is you got to change the stories in your mind. How do you do that? You saturate your mind in Scripture. begin to meditate on who he truly is. Because friends, if I can encourage you to do one thing, it is learn to see the world through Scripture. Learn to ask not just what would Jesus do, but what would he think? Reject the old, replace with the new. As we do that, this transformation from within gives, results in your ability to know the will of God. Other versions say the way of God. You will discover, reject the old, replace the new. You will discover that his way is better. You will discover a path that leads to life. Are you done just surviving? Are you done being stuck? Come on, can we jump to our feet right across this room? Are you done knowing that there is more to your faith that feels like it is out of reach? Can I encourage you, today is a day to say, I am choosing to take God's path, moving from my path onto his path. Friends, you are made to flourish and know and enjoy and experience life to the full. What would happen if we actually allowed our minds to be renewed? I wonder if you're here in this room and you know, maybe as I've been speaking, there are stories that you believed. Lies, lines, thoughts, ideas that have been so pervasive that you've had no choice to believe them. Maybe that's you, and you're just like, you know what? I can see right now there is a story that I've believed that is not God's story for my life. If that's you, and you can be a saint that has been in church forever, you could just be on your journey and following Jesus. You're just like, you know what? There is a story that I've come to believe. Could you just open your hands right now? Because we're just going to pray that God would begin to speak into your spirit. He's going to give you a word right now. He's going to give you a word that counters that idea. He's going to give you a truth that counters that lie. Holy Spirit, come. Quicken to our minds, Lord. Father, those things in our lives that are just not true. God, right now, we take a hold of that incredible power that can break and demolish strongholds. And Father, I pray that stories and truths that we built up in our heart for so long, God, you would come crashing through them right now with a word, with a truth. Father, I pray that you would begin to identify lies that have built up in our hearts right now. And Father, we reject them. God, I pray over every person in this room that we would have the spiritual fortitude to press against cultural lies and ideas, that we would push against a structure and a shape that tries to press us into something less than what God has for us. Give us courage, Lord God, to press against that which is not the truth. And God, where there are lies, we speak the truth that sets free in the mighty name of Jesus. Come like a river in this room. We speak freedom right now. Well, maybe some of you just right now just need to whisper to God what that means. Just maybe he's given you a word. Just begin to say that over your life right now. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a future. I have a hope. Love and peace and joy, that's my inheritance. I am not the dysfunction of my parents, but I am a new creation in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are breaking down strongholds. God, this is our prayer. You have me. We surrender our thoughts to you, our mind and our ideas. Maybe you're here today and you're just like, well, Ryan, I always thought that Christianity was just stiff, stifling, repressive, oppressive, whatever. But you're telling me that it's made, designed, established to give life and life to the full? I didn't know that. Maybe you're here and you're like, I've been trying my own way for so long, but I just could never get ahead. I want to invite you to discover today life. And life like you could never imagine. Scripture tells us that if you will call on His name, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a life devoid of Him. An eternity without God. You will be moved from death to life, and in that place, life to the full. If you've never made that decision, but today you want to say, Ryan, I want to receive that life. I'm done living my own life. I turn from that and I look to Him and I want to jump on His way. If that is you right now, the invitation of life is here for you to take right now. If that's you, would you just be brave enough for a couple seconds to raise your hand and say, you know what? I want to today make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to accept His life. If that's you right now, on the count of three, would you just raise your hand right where you're standing? 1, 2, 3. How many people need to today? Amazing. Amazing. How many others today just need to say, you know what, Ryan? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to receive that life in my spirit, in my soul. If you're watching online, just make it known to our team. There are a couple hands right across this room, but if that's you, would you just place your hand on your heart? Jesus, let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, today, I jump off doing things my way and I get on your way. Forgive me of all that I've done and give me your life, life to the full. Today, I declare that you, Jesus, are the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.